Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on you porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck can pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to String Team.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know.
Where mama at?
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
So the Jets lost last night, but are they somehow going to be better than the Bills?
I don't know, man.
No. They're not.
We've seen a lot of memes today. Picture of the Brooklyn Nets from 2013. Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, traded to the Nets, dressed in Brooklyn Nets jerseys. Jason Kidd was their head coach. Joe Johnson was on that team. And that is what people are saying. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams will be for the New York Jets in 2024. No Hawk today. Josh Appel will join us. Crowder, where are you, Crowder?
New York.
All right, there you go. He's following Devontae Adams. Who got there quicker today, you or Devontae Adams? Because it looks like, according to Deanna Rossini, he was in the Jets facility 15 minutes after the news broke.
Yeah. He came and picked me up. So after the show last night, he got the news. He came and picked me up. We flew up here last night. He just wanted a little support.
Yes, I called her Deanna. I meant Diana Rossini. Yeah, my bad. Yeah. So all right. How does this change the AFC East at all, Crowder?
It can if Aaron Rodgers is what we think he is, but I'm not sold that Aaron Rodgers is the Aaron Rodgers that we know, the Hall of Fame quarterback anymore, because when he had a chance last night, and he underthrew the damn ball for an interception to win the game.
That's three games in a row.
He underthrew that ball. And then Aaron Rodgers went on national TV and said it was Mike Williams' fault. Mike Williams was running a route. You underthrew him. That got intercepted, Rod. So I don't know. The thought that Garrett Wilson will be on the opposite side of Devontae Adams is amazing. But if the guy that's delivering that ball isn't what we think he is, it's not going to be as amazing as we think.
But see, that's the dynamic that I don't think a lot of people have discussed. People are focused on how great it is that Rodgers and Devontae Adams are reunited. And it gives him, I saw somebody say, which was funny that they didn't include Garrett Wilson in this, but that they've given him another receiver that he can trust, just like Alan Lazard. Here's the thing that I don't think enough people are talking about. I don't think that Garrett Wilson is this big time diva or anything, but we already started to see some cracks with him early in the season. I am very curious to see how Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers coexist together, because you know Garrett Wilson's going to want those targets, but when Devontae and Rodgers were together in Green Bay, like, the lion's share of the targets obviously went to Devontae. So I'm really curious how this dynamic works out in New York, already in tumultuous times with an interim head coach. They're 2-4. Like, they've got to go 9-2 to go 11-6 the rest of the way. based off what you've seen the last 6 weeks, I mean, it's certainly possible, but based on what you've seen over the last 6 weeks, can this team go 9-2 to finish the season?
And that'll be the thing too. And, you know, personally, I have Lazard on my fantasy team. So his targets are going to go way down now because he got me 20 points last night. But, yeah. But no, the thought would be Aaron Rodgers is smart enough. To answer your question, Josh, Aaron Rodgers is smart enough to know that now Devontae is going to pull the number one corner in all the coverage. Garrett Wilson should go crazy with that number two corner or slot nickelback if it can. But can Aaron still do that? Can Aaron still maximize it? My question, I understand what you're saying, the to figure out how to utilize all your pieces, but can Aaron still do that? Because I saw him miss a bunch of damn throws last night.
And that was the best he's played all year was last night.
296 or something like that? Yeah. He almost had 300 yards passing, but he missed probably 60 yards in throws.
Crowder, that third down on the interception at the end of the game, he had, I think it was Breece Hall underneath, and at the very least, if he didn't pick up the first down on a check down, would have been very close to give them a very manageable, more than manageable, fourth down. And he decided to chuck it and underthrow Mike Williams, who's been a horrendous signing for them. You know, we talk about Chris Greer a lot down here and how much he's survived through different coaching staffs, different GMs beforehand. The idea that Joe Douglas is still around running things in New York right now is wild to me. If you look back at his track record, he hired Adam Gase, and then Adam Gase hired him, and he took over that rebuild. Didn't work. Then he had a chance to draft a quarterback early. That didn't work. And now he gets the chance to rebuild with the win now quarterback, and they're sitting here at 2-4. It's mind-numbing to me, everything that goes on with that franchise. They are the same exact team they were a week ago with Robert Saleh. They're the same team.
What about Hassan Reddick?
Right. Exactly. They're going to trade him.
You trade for a guy, and you don't even have a deal set with him. I don't – like you're saying, you said is it unfathomable to think? I do. There's no chance that the Jets go 9-2. They just can't do it. I think that organization is flawed. They're flawed from the top down. Old brick. He looked a little confused on the sideline last night. He might have been at play some Sudoku with Adam Gase or something. Because, yeah, man, I don't believe in the Jets. So to answer your bigger question, does this fix the Jets with Devontae Adams? I don't think it does. I think it will be exciting to watch those two receivers, but I don't think it fixes them.
It was also reported that the Bills – ooh, I had a Crowder, like, phlegm moment there. It was also reported
awful
that the that the Bills were in on Devontae Adams as well, but they balked at taking on that whole contract. Do not be surprised. This is like a semi-report. Do not be surprised if they end up adding a name receiver here in the near future because they're looking and they need somebody. Don't be surprised.
Solana, we're breaking news again.
Are we?
We're breaking news. Look, I don't know. I don't know if Josh is speaking real nebulous, but I think we might have broke some news.
Are we breaking news? Like, that didn't sound it was breaking news. It sounded like an opinion that Josh Chappelle has.
It was an opinion, but also based on information.
Okay.
They're coming to take that.
So okay, so let's go through this again. What is the information? What is the opinion, the informed opinion that you have?
The informed opinion is that the Bills are trying to get another receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They were in on Devontae Adams.
Right.
And balked at taking on his entire contract.
Right.
The Jets obviously did not. And the Bills, to my knowledge, are turning their attention elsewhere.
Okay.
And so don't be surprised if there's another name receiver.
Okay.
That has voiced plenty of frustration given his current situation.
Hmm.
Don't be surprised if one of those guys ends up on the Bills here in the near future. That's all I'm saying.
Crowder, I can all but guarantee the Bills won't be adding a wide receiver in the near future.
Save the audio.
No, Josh knows some people that know some people that know some people.
Yeah, he may or may not know somebody with the Buffalo Bills. May or may not.
We got action.
Hey. All right, guys. A lot to get to today. I want to talk about the actual game as well because, oh, my God, was it an exciting game, but also at points I wanted to pull my hair out. I mean, the officiating was It was tough, and none of them were bad calls, but it seemed like in the final 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, every snap was followed by multiple penalties. Every single snap.
Hold on. I'm pretty sure the Bills just made their move.
No way.
Yeah.
Big man.
No way. There's
we
no
tried
way.
To break. We tried to break news, Solana, and you talking about, oh, that sounds like an opinion.
Hold on. Let me just confirm, because people are texting it in. Yep. According to Ian Rappaport, the Bills are trading for Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper.
Oh, my God. Get out of here, man.
I told you.
We could have beat Adam Schefter.
No, this happened 6 minutes ago. Appel saw the tweet. He's trying to take credit for it.
Swear to God. Swear
we
to God.
We beat Adam Schefter, Solana, and you went in there with your little funny-looking little striped shirt on and talked crazy to him.
All right. Keep rocking your Lakers hat, LeBron fan. This is crazy. Appel low-key had sources before anybody else, and it happened 4 minutes after. Holy bleep. We broke a story. Let's go.
I hate it. I love that Josh gave us some good stuff, but I hate that the Bills have Amari Cooper.
So to answer your question originally, no, the Bills just countered, and the Bills are still in, like, yeah. The Jets aren't a threat to them anymore.
Who's a better receiver right now, Davante Adams or Amari Cooper?
Davante Adams.
I think they're probably – I agree – that's probably Adams, but I would say the contracts have to be factored in here a little bit. I think Amari's the more affordable option. He is. And I think by that metric, like, the drop-off isn't enough. So for me, I love what the Bills are doing here with Amari Cooper. They needed a guy like that. Shakir's a nice player. Coleman's going to be a nice player. But Cooper opens things up. That's the receiver they were missing.
Yeah. What, Kincaid? The tight end, he showed out last night, too.
Yeah, he's tight ends. Yeah, it's a good offense.
Dawson Knox, yeah. Dalton Kincaid. I mean,
yeah.
Really, the questions for the Bills are more on the defensive end. They lost a bunch of guys on the defensive end. I mean, offensively, I think we got a pretty good look week two that their offense is okay, you know? The questions were always going to be about the defense. Damn. Talk about a chaotic day in the AFC East. And meanwhile, we're just waiting for Tua to give us two thumbs up so he can practice again next week.
Not Tua good, better man. Play in that damn Arizona game.
Not good, man.
But isn't it crazy how all this stuff has happened with the Dolphins, and here they are sitting at 2-3, a chance to be 3-3 after this week, right? Mm-hmm. And being a game out in the AFC East. They're not. This is not a team right now that is going to do any kind of big time winning this year. And I just we'll have to see it when Tua gets back, because as we pointed out, they weren't really on a great stretch with him before he got hurt, but. I mean, they have a really good shot to still be right in the thick of it, right? Like, somehow, as tumultuous as this has been through the first five games, somehow, some way, this team is still right in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to win on Sunday again. And I think, and we can get to this later in the show, but they're catching a break seeing Anthony Richardson instead of Joe Flacco.
Oh, Josh.
What Crowder said yesterday. Thing. Yeah, man.
Yesterday. Oh, please let me see Richardson. I don't want to see Flacco. Put Richardson out there. He's going to run around. He's gonna throw interception. His hip's already sore. I don't want to see Joe Flacco. And Joe Flacco's 73 years old.
The thing is, knowing the Dolphins' luck, this will be Anthony Richardson's breakout game. He's had breakout games in the past, I know, but this will be like that one game where he throws for 422 yards and it starts his campaign as one of the best quarterbacks in the league. It's just the way I feel as a Dolphins fan approaching a game like this. I'm begging for AR, but watch, this is going to be the AR Indianapolis has been waiting for.
I think the funnier outcome is the Dolphins are dominating Anthony Richardson and they lay a hit on him or something, and he comes out and Joe Flacco comes in and lights him up and beats him. That's the funnier outcome to me.
I hate you, Solana, because I damn near agree with you, but I hate it that you think that way. And yes, Josh, you have to tell the defenders to play hard, but don't play too hard.
Right.
Yeah. Don't knock him out the game. Just grab his ankles, Zach Sealer. You know, push him to the ground a little bit, okay?
I'm scarred. Partly it's your fault, Crowder. We're being 100% honest. I mean, what, one playoff season in 6 years? I mean, come on. Could have given me a little something better than that.
I retired 13 years ago, bastard.
All right. Hawk is going to be off today. We'll take you up until 6. Actually, I got a jet at like 5 to go to the Kaseya Center. The Heat do play the Spurs tonight. Apparently, Wemby's going to play. Appel will take over the reins there, but Appel is in today. He's going to do headlines here. Crowder, Solana, Jimmy will take you up until 6 p.m. You got the Panthers tonight, and you got the Miami Heat tonight as well. I do want to remind everybody we're doing this all week. A chance to win a $50 gift card to Twin Peaks. Keep listening. We'll give those tickets away a little, or excuse me, that gift card later today. Twin Peaks, where the drinks are as bold as the atmosphere. Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel covers the Dolphins. He will join us in the next segment. Talk more about this matchup versus Indy. Yesterday, we kind of discussed whether or not the Tua era was coming to an end in Miami. We'll talk to Perk about that, and we'll do it during Game Day Uncensored as well. Plus, George Richards will join us from Florida Hockey Now. Talk a little bit about the Cats' victory yesterday and how they're going to be able to withstand being without so many crucial players. But now, headlines with Josh Appel.
Well, you didn't send me the headlines, but first, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Okay, you want to throw me under the bus. That's totally fine. I'm supposed to leave the show early today. Hawk, talked to you yesterday. You said you would host. Hey, you didn't want to host? I'll host, no problem. It's all good, brother. I'm there. But if you weren't going to host, then you knew you were going to have to do headlines. Why were I was prepared to host today, just in case. I'm always prepared to host just in case. You want to throw me under the bus for not having headlines? I can do headlines for you as well if you want me to do all the heavy lifting here today.
Here's the issue, right? We had this conversation it was literally while the show opened was going over the air. We were trying to figure this out. And I wasn't sure if you had told me right before, all right, you got headlines. And I wasn't sure if you were just like being, you know, messing with me a little bit. Because the last time I filled in for Hawk, you just gave me the headlines and I read them. And so I was expecting you to do all the legwork for me again.
I got that.
Really, that's on you and not me. Yeah. I'm over here breaking news and you're over here making me look unprepared.
It is true. He is breaking news. Like the one time,
that is so amazing.
The first time in like 3 years that we actually break a story on the air, and I'm just ripping Appel.
I did not expect that to happen a minute after I said I thought it would be like a week or two before it happens. I knew they were in the conversation, and that timing was impeccable. Really was.
Send me the headlines. I got you.
Ooh.
No, we're good. We're good on that.
Send them on a PDF.
All right. So the big news, obviously, Davante Adams is headed to the New York Jets. We talked about that again. Chris Perkins will join us in the next segment. And Amari Cooper is headed to the Buffalo Bills. Hey, the Hail Mary, by the way, at halftime. Hawk, yesterday we were talking about how, Crowder, how Hawk's son DJ needed over 49. I thought it was a lock at that point, bro. I'm like, oh, this is a lock.
Crazy. Yeah. And well, they couldn't do nothing in that second half. That was ridiculous. Well, the dinked field goals and all of that stuff, man, that was just that fourth quarter was some of the ugliest football I have watched in a long time. What's his name? McDermott and Oldbrick? They both need to get pow-powed. They both need a good spanking for how their teams played in that fourth quarter. That was embarrassing football.
Not as embarrassing as Tyler Bass's missed extra point.
Missed extra point?
It wasn't even like he like barely missed it. It looked like if Jimmy was kicking an extra point. No offense, Jimmy.
We talked about it with another game. It's like you're kicking it into the concession stand. It went through the tunnel somewhere. Like, how can... You're a professional, bro.
Crazy, man.
Joe Buck had the best line. He said it looked like a kid on College Game Day trying to make a field goal.
He was trying to get Pat McAfee's money. I said, come on, man. Well, we're laughing, but our damn kicker down here with the Dolphins did that about four games ago.
Yeah, not important.
All right. Major League Baseball. Yesterday, Yankees took a 1-0 series lead 5-2. And in case anybody was keeping tabs at home, the Dodgers did not come back, down 6-0 against the Mets. They lost 7-3, so Hawk loses another bet. Guardians Yankees tonight, game two from Yankee Stadium's at 7:38. Tomorrow, game three series tied. It shifts back to Citi Field at 1 apiece. Dodgers at the Mets. And game three, Yankees Guardians will be on Thursday. As I mentioned, the Heat do play the Spurs tonight. That's a 7:30 p.m. tip-off from the Kaseya Center. I'll be there. Pre-heat begins at 5:45 and – or excuse me, 6:15. Excuse me. And Panthers are at the Blue Jackets. That'll be at 7 p.m. Eastern time tonight. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7. Right now in South Florida, partly cloudy. Tonight the lows – they'll drop into the mid-70s. Remember, we have a cold front starting as early as tomorrow. Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk Dolphins. We'll talk AFC East. We'll talk whatever the hell we want to talk about with Perk. It's been a while since we talked with him. So looking forward to that. More Hockman and Crowder will take you up until 6 after this break.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Joe, I'm too sexy for Hawk. Too sexy for Crowder, and surely too sexy for Solana.
Hawk and Crowder.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to talk some more AFC East, Miami Dolphins football with Chris Perkins, who joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's a Miami Dolphins columnist for the Sun Sentinel. You can, of course, read his excellent work at thesunsentinel.com. I was just talking with Perk, and as he said, it's been a while since we've talked to him here on the Hawkman and Crowder Show. A reminder, Hawk is off today. He will be back tomorrow. Appel, Crowder, and Solana here taking you up until 6 p.m. Perk, the AFC East just got a lot more interesting, bro. The Man. Jets re-up a little bit. They improved their roster with Devontae Adams. And how about the Buffalo Bills adding Amari Cooper just minutes ago? Perk, first of all, welcome. And second of all, what the hell, man? Everybody else is getting better, and we're just waiting for Tua to get back down here.
I like the what the hell part of that. Screw the welcome. Let's get down to business, baby. Let's do it. Look, you know what? Here's the funny thing, man, is that, you know, you got two receivers now in this division that, look, if I'm the Dolphins, that's two men that I'm putting Jalen Ramsey on and locking them down, right? Jalen versus Devontae Adams, Jalen versus Amari Cooper. Let's see if the rest of y'all can beat me. That's my strategy if I'm Anthony Weaver, the Dolphins defensive coordinator.
And but Perk, what with the Dolphins, man, it upset me. Just think about it. Carolina, Bryce Young wasn't playing, and then what, Andy Dalton steps in and they start winning games. Even in Green Bay, when Jordan Love, who balled out Sunday, but now he goes, Malik Willis has been there for 3 days. They still win a game running the ball. It's been a number of teams that can do that. Why in the hell did Tua go down and our team looks like, hey, we can win the AFC East too? We might not win a damn game without Tua. Like, what is the mismanagement? What happens if Tua is not with a helmet on? Because it looks like two different teams.
Man, Crowder, look. Okay, so this gets back to the mismanagement of the Dolphins, right? So if you have Skylar Thompson and Mike White in a quarterback competition, well, first of all, you have them all offseason. And you look at them, and I guess you evaluate them, and you decide they're good enough to keep around through training camp, and you have this big quarterback competition. Why in the hell are you getting rid of the loser? You know that Tua gets injured, and you know that the backup can very easily get injured. You were just in this situation 2 years ago, right? When Tua got injured and Teddy Bridgewater got injured and now you're down to Skyler, why wouldn't you have kept Mike White around? I don't understand that. So That's the first thing about this. That was stupid on their part. Like, you can't just bring a quarterback into this system in a few weeks and expect him to be up to speed. So that's the first part. And you know, the team looking so different. Look, I'm doing a column for tomorrow on the run game of the Dolphins. And, yeah, last week they do the 41 for 193. But, you know, the Dolphins this year are 1-2 when they rush for over 100 yards. Last year they were 6-5 when they rushed for over 100 yards. Under Mike McDaniel, they're only 10-9 when they rush for over 100 yards. So, I'm not sure that that's going to be the key to beating Indy. I have to do like a deep dive into these numbers and figure out what's going on. Why aren't they winning more games? But, it's very complicated with this offense, why it looks so different without Tua. You can't get the ball to Tyreek and to Jalen Waddle. You don't throw to the tight end, which I still don't understand. They started that last week. And your run game can't win you games. So there's a few layers to this offense when Tua's not in there.
Perk, I mean, you're speaking my language with the Mike White stuff. You really are.
I know that's your boy. I know that.
So thank you for that. And just to butter you up even more, I hope that golf game is treating you well too. I know
you'll be happy to know I whooped Adam Beasley's butt last week. So yeah.
You've done nothing but make me smile in the first few minutes of this interview.
Perk, you can swing them things.
Oh yeah. Look, Crowder, I don't break 100 on a regular basis. I play fast, I have fun, and I'll get in your pocket on those par threes.
We might have Perk. We might have to get out there, Perk. I can swing them a little bit.
Let's do it.
We'll have Crowder be our fourth, Perk. You, me, Bees, Perk, and Crowder. How's that?
Let's do it. Let's set it up.
Hey, Perk, can you confirm whether or not Adam Beasley wears his thong sandals to play golf as well? Because, man, he wears them pretty much everywhere else.
He does, don't he? No, he does not. He actually wears spikes. Beasley damn near broke my elbow about a year ago because I held up a branch and I thought he was chipping out, and he took a full swing and he clocked me on the backswing. I'll never do that again. But yeah, well,
It wasn't on a backswing. It would have been him chucking his club in your direction because he was mad at a bad shot.
Exactly.
My question, Perk, you know, you mentioned the running game. You were obviously in the room for Chris Greer's preseason press conference where he basically lectured you guys, the entire beat, on how worried you guys were about the offensive line compared to his level of worry. That aged very poorly for him, did it not?
Yeah, it did. And you know what, Josh, but I'll say this. I've come around to Greer's way of thinking on the offensive line, and here's why. I think what you need really is a good center and two good tackles. The two guards, I've always said, if you list the players in order of importance from 1 to 22, left guard is going to be 21, right guard is going to be 22. So I understand the desire to improve the guard positions, but at the expense of what? DN, safety, linebacker, corner? Like, you can't have all pros everywhere. The Dolphins have taken this to an extreme, but I do agree with Greer on, look, you can't have five Pro Bowlers on that offensive line. Give me a good center and two good tackles. Let's roll.
Again, we're talking with Chris Perkins. No problem, Paul. I'll get back to you in a second. Chris Perkins, read his work at thesunsentinel.com. Perk, best case scenario here, because we're talking about how the run game needs to improve, the offensive line, obviously, but the reality is Tua Tagovailoa is going to come back. We know that. What is the best case scenario other than Tua staying healthy for the rest of the season, obviously, but if he does, what is the best realistic expectation for this team come January? Is it sneak into the playoffs and then what? Or is it just, hey, as long as Tua stays healthy, he could show you he could stay healthy, the Dolphins should feel okay about this season considering he went down already?
I expect this team to win 9 or 10 games. I don't care when Tua comes back. Now, I think he's coming back against Arizona October 27th. He can first practice a week from Wednesday, October 23rd. He can first play October 27th. I think that's when Tua comes back. But here's the thing, Talana, this offense still needs to define itself, right? Because we saw when Tua was in there, they still weren't getting the ball to Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle on a consistent basis. Everybody's playing those two deep safeties. They're taking away that deep throw. And even when the Dolphins rush for over 100 yards in the past and sometimes make people drop that eighth man into the box, sometimes not, the offense still, it's still not where it was. You know, starting late last year, and then I know, you can actually track it to the play where Tyreek got hurt against Tennessee, where he got that horse collar slash hip drop tackle, a combination. That's when the offense started going bad, and it hasn't recovered. But even before then, you saw people, I was talking to players about how they defended Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle, and they tell me there's a lot of unscouted looks, which means things that teams haven't done before. And last year, the first game, for example, Belichick played three safeties, and then underneath that, Christian Gonzalez shadowed Tyreek. And other teams, Buffalo and Kansas City were aggressive with Tyreek and Waddle at the line of scrimmage. Philly wasn't that aggressive because they let their pass rush do the work. There's a lot of things that these teams are doing to limit Tyreek and Waddle, and the Dolphins haven't really responded. So that's a long way of saying I still don't know what this offense is going to be when Tua gets back, because we weren't seeing all those deep passes that used to electrify the first year and a half. The last, few games, the last 8 or 10 games, that gone away. So when Tua gets back, this offense still needs to define itself, and then you move forward. But having said all that, yeah, I still expect this team to win 9 or 10 games and be right there for the wild card and probably get into the playoffs.
Perk, we talked a lot of offense here, but you mentioned Anthony Weaver earlier in the interview. I'm curious how you view the defensive performance through the first 5 games. Feels like they've done their best to keep the Dolphins in game despite some of the circumstances that the offense has put the defense in. I think you look at the metrics for the defense, generally speaking, they've been pretty good. How would you evaluate the defense through the first 5 games?
They've done okay. They're number 5 right now in defense. I like what Zach Steeler's done, like what Calais Campbell's done, like what Jalen Ramsey has done. Now, obviously, this run defense is struggling a little bit. They've allowed over 100 yards to all 5 opponents. But, look, this is an offense team, right? Like, you're a high-scoring, big-play offense. That's the identity of the team. That's what drives the bus. So you just kind of need the defense to be good enough. And that's kind of what this defense has been, is good enough. It hasn't been outstanding, but you've had a few guys making plays. Jordan Brooks at linebacker, he's played every snap this season. He's been decent. He hasn't been great, but he's been decent. Jordan Fuller at the corner opposite Jalen Ramsey has been okay. Cater has struggled in the slot. I kind of worry about Cater. Will Jordan Poyer has not had a good year. He's out with a shin injury right now. We know that the pass rush has not been good. So, Josh, there's been good things with this defense, and there's been not so good things. I think it's a playoff caliber defense. Is it good enough to win you a playoff game? Probably not. But again, that's the offense. And look, I'll tell you guys this too. When we talk about this offense and the problems that it has in games against good teams, they were 1-6 last year against playoff teams. Mike McDaniel doesn't come through. Tua doesn't come through. Tua in his last 8 games against playoff teams, 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Raheem Mostert doesn't come through. Jaylen Waddle doesn't come through. Tyreek doesn't come through. None of them come through. So this is a collective thing against good teams, not an individual thing. And I think that really when you talk about success in the playoffs, I think the Dolphins' depth has been good the last couple of years. You know all the injuries they've had. The depth has gotten them to the playoffs, but the star players need to perform when you're playing playoff-caliber teams and when you're in the playoffs. That, to me, is why the Dolphins haven't advanced. They can get to the playoffs. You need these star players to come through so you can advance in the playoffs.
Hey, Perk, if this offense is the bus driver, it needs to put its pedal to the metal, because we're driving 12 points per game per mile per hour. We're not moving very fast because we're the worst offense in the NFL right now, points per game, Perk. But
yeah, hey, no.
No. What you got?
No, I was going to say, look, this offense, and you know what, Crowder, this gets into, with me, why McDaniel can't simplify this offense a little bit more, right? Because look, I said this earlier on my podcast with David Peronis, Dolphins Deep Dive with Perks, SunSentinel.com, noon every Tuesday. How about that plug?
Great plug.
That's right. But look, I don't understand how, you know, the Cal-Miami game, right? Cal is devising play calls that wide receivers are wide open, right? Carving up the Miami secondary. Why can't Mike McDaniel do that? Why do you have to have all these shifts and motions? Just throw the damn ball to a receiver. Like, make it simple. And that's what I would like to see Mike McDaniel do with this pedestrian offense.
You know, Perk, I'm glad you said that. And Crowder kind of alluded to it earlier, just talking about other schemes and other teams who have won with their backups. Spencer Rattler started on Sunday for New Orleans, and they put up 27 points. And they got blown out because they gave up 51. But, I mean, they're putting up 27 with Spencer Rattler in his first start. And it has me thinking because, you know, these are all these Shanahan offenses, the Mike Shanahan offenses. But while McDaniel has, like, the principles of that, it's a completely different derivative of it. And I wonder why, you know, they don't try and run something that, you know, like O'Connell runs in Minnesota with Darnold, like what McVay and Shanahan do in San Francisco in L.A., what Slowick is running in Houston. That's really the Shanahan offense. The Dolphins run the Shanahan offense with all the gadgets and all the motions and all that stuff. And I think, to your point, Perk, I think in the second half against New England, we finally started to see a more simplified version of this. But I'm with you. Like, it's too complicated for the guys that they have trying to run the offense right now. The procedural stuff is insane. And a lot of that is because they're not used to, obviously, Huntley's cadence, and he's not used to running an offense that this complicated. Like, they're trying to fit square pegs, round holes, whatever that cliche is, and it's really frustrating to watch.
Yeah, they just need to do simple, and Mike McDaniel doesn't do simple. That's the problem. But, you know, Josh, I always wonder, you got quarterback coach Daryl Bevel, who is experienced. You got offensive coordinator Frank Smith. Are they in Mike McDaniel's ear saying, hey, why don't we just simplify this? Are they yes men, or are they saying something and McDaniel ignores them? Because I just don't understand. And you're right. Like, out in San Francisco, they have a run game, right? They have Christian McCaffrey. They have a tight end that they throw to, George Kittle. Like, McDaniel wants to put his spin on this offense, which I understand, but it's so finessed. It's so speedy. And it has no muscle. It has no oomph to it. And that's what irritates me, is that you have all this talent and you refuse to change up even a little bit. Like, I know, look, Chris Brooks, the running back that they had in training camp, he didn't do the job. Okay, fine. But get a power back. Fill that role. Maybe not with Chris Brooks, but fill that role. You have a tight end in Jonnu Smith. You finally started throwing to him. Continue to throw to this man. This man can help out your quarterback. And I don't understand why McDaniel, he's very stubborn. He's very hard-headed. I like Mike McDaniel. I respect Mike McDaniel, but he's really hard-headed. He won't get a power runner. He won't throw to the tight end. It's all speed, 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 big play, big play, big play. And it's not getting you anywhere. You haven't won a playoff game. To me, they've underachieved both years, so I would like to see McDaniel, if he would just change up this offense a little bit, add some little tweaks to it, do some stuff that other Shanahan people are doing, like you say, Josh, I think you would have more success with the talent that you have.
Perk, on the way out, well, to put a bow on what you said, I know you can't say it, but, yeah, they need to start whooping somebody's ass in the trenches. That's what you're trying to say. Just come downhill, and I've said that for years. We're not a downhill team. We can't just go get 3 yards when we need it. But, Perk, quickly on the way out, because we've had this debate. I like to call them arguments, but they call them debates for a couple days now. I do not want to see Joe Flacco. I want Anthony Richardson in the game. How do you feel about that? Because I think Joe Flacco can beat us. I don't know if AR-15 can beat us.
100%. I agree with you, Crowder. I agree with you. Look. And the Dolphins, look, you already lost to Mason Rudolph, a backup quarterback this year. You put Jimmy G out of the game 2 years ago. Meet Brock Purdy, who's going to whoop your ass. So, yeah, you better stay with AR, because I don't think you want any part of Joe Flacco. He will get the job done.
I think we're all unanimously agreeing with Joe Flacco to sit his ass on the bench, man. Sit his ass.
Go Anthony.
Like where Skylar
Let's
Thompson's going to be sitting for the next couple months. Sit his ass on the bench. Chris Perkins, it's been way too long, man. I really do appreciate you joining us again. Perk, noon, every Tuesday. It's Perk, Dave Hyde, David Fiorina's Dolphins Deep Dive. I had that plug ready to go too, Perk. Don't think I forgot.
Yes.
Plus, read all of Chris Perkins' work. Dolphins columnist at thesunsentinel.com. Perk, really do appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
All right, fellas, let's do it again.
Yes, sir. We'll do. That's Chris Perkins there. I do want to remind everybody before we go to break here that WQM is supporting Neighbors for Neighbors and the Hurricane Milton relief effort. If you'd like to donate, whether it's goods, tarps, generators, yard waste bags, canned goods, anything that could help out, please drop them off at Global Empowerment Mission Headquarters. That's found in Doral. For more info on how you can help, please go to WQAM.com. And obviously, we want to thank everybody for their support. That was Chris Perkins there. More Hockman and Crowder coming up.
You're listening to the Hock and Crowder Show.
I'm just saying that I'm Hock. We talk Tua. Hock Tua.
Hock and Crowder.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.